All right. Welcome to the Their Worlds, Our Stories, a Halo Machinima discussion. I am Dustin Pettigrew. I go by Duststorm Online. I am the owner and host of a podcast called Pod Tackler. We cover anything and everything under the umbrella of Halo. And I have the wonderful privilege to be the moderator of this panel regarding Halo Machinima. With my guests starting to my immediate left is Andrew Beam, the Beaminator.
Yeah, hi, I'm Andrew. I'm actually one of the three people who worked on the compilation you just saw. I want to give a big shout out to A-Star and Grumpy Lee for staying up all night to work on this compilation. And I hope you guys like that because, you know, there are so many machinimas and, you know, we couldn't put all the ones we wanted in, but I felt we put the ones that, you know, are really, really good. I have some stuff to talk about later, and I'll give it to talk about yourself.
I guess. My name's Josh Walters. I go by Konami 13 on most panels. I did not work on that compilation, but I did enjoy it. I play a major antagonist, Speed Zone, and the minor antagonist, Jackson, in RB and the Chief Next Gen.
Which is my series.
Mm-hmm. And if y'all haven't watched that, I very much recommend it because this man works tirelessly to make sure that that show is the highest of quality. And I guess that's about all there is to me until I talk about me some more, so you!
Cool. Well, hello. My name is Josiah Robertson. It's not on the panel there, but it's all good. I kind of go by Naga in terms of the community there. Haven't made a machinima in a while, but when I did, you know, it's from 2013 to kind of around 2015. I didn't work on that video. I kind of helped with some issues as well as a lot of moral support for staying up as much as he did. But yeah.
Name's Mark Antonio Rios. I was actually, one of my clips of a machinima was actually in that compilation. I wish I created it. It looks so cool.
Well,
there it is.
Mostly my channel revolves around just tutorials and stuff. If you guys are interested in machinima, I have some tutorials on Halo Film Club's channel if you're interested in learning how to make one.
All right, by a quick show of hands, who here has watched Halo Machinima or has grown up with Halo Machinima in any capacity? Wow, that's a pretty good, amount right there.
Yes.
All right.
And a few people interested in the back, y'all can come in.
So we do have a few people in here who are new to the scene. So let's kind of introduce Machinima to them, shall we?
Yeah, I think we should introduce them.
Yeah. So Machinima itself is a combined term of machine and cinema. So this is using a machine, aka a video game, to create a theatrical or filming experience. So cinema. So there's where you get Machinima. At the most part, it's using computer graphics engines. It could not necessarily be video games. It could also be other 3D engines that people use.
It's usually video games, though.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Stuff like Halo, Grand Theft Auto, Fortnite, stuff like that.
Call of Duty.
Right. But you see a lot of different machinimas out there. First one being inspired, I think, by Quake. And there's another one that was popularized in 1996 by the Diary of a Camper in Doom.
Yeah.
So, who here knows of that machinima? Three people.
I didn't.
And one on the panel. So we've got some machinima enthusiasts in the audience.
Hey, that's good.
And in addition to kind of the origins of machinima, you have a lot of games nowadays with a save film or replay mechanic, which also has helped make machinima grow in a lot of different capacities, especially with Halo and theater and Halo 3. That's really where machinima and Halo started to bloom and really become what the staple it is that it is today. And speaking of Halo machinima, next slide, never mind. How machinima is made. So I'll let these guys kind of talk to this a little bit, but it's very similar to the way that normal machinima is made with a few different caveats.
I would say that machinima is also very similar to live action filmmaking in many ways, but I would say it is a lot easier than live action in many ways. But that's not to say that it isn't hard. It is very boring. Like, I know, like, half of the stuff, like great years of Halo Theft Auto 5, like, that stuff's hilarious, but the stuff that goes into it is so grueling and boring. But the end result is so worth it.
It's definitely worth the amount of time it takes to make something like that, and I guess as boring as a process as it can be, to see it all play out before you, it's so incredibly just worth it and satisfying. For sure.
I think also one of the things I really like about Machinima is that, you know, it's not being run by some company. Like 343 isn't telling us what to make. We're making this ourselves. Like, you know, like we have an idea for a story and we just tell it. And, you know, they let us do it. And the fact that they're so lenient with copyright about this is just amazing. So let's give 343 a hand and Microsoft for just allowing us to, you know, put our stories out there easily using, you know, their medium. That's, which is just amazing because like some of the companies, they don't like it when we do that.
Yeah. Nintendo yeah. especially.
Right. So at its core, you have some basics of cinema that goes in with cinema. So you have a storyboard, you have plot, you have concepts, scripts, rehearsals, all that kind of stuff. The main difference where you start to get into it with Machinima is instead of cameras, you're using capture cards and recording software.
Well, it's not like recording software like OBS Studio or like sometimes, like, so I think, as I saw somewhere, like some people, like Sentinel, they, like, he told me that he likes to use the Xbox DVR, but I think there was, like, something wrong with it. But I think one of the more, like, popular ways that people, like, specifically with Halo Machinima and the Xbox, a lot of people do prefer the Elgato. I personally use Roxio, but I've heard that Elgato is probably the most popular one, and
HD
it does
DVR.
Have a good, an amazing 4K look to it.
From an HDMI standpoint, I think that's probably one of the more popular ones.
Yeah.
And if it's like computer, I'd say go with OBS Studio because it's free.
Right. Yep. So you have the consoles acting as the camera, or if you're on the PC, you have the PC acting as the camera. So if you have a screen capture software for PC games or a capture card for console games, that's usually what ends up being your camera in the typical cinematic sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys all kind of know how the Halo, you know, custom games work. You get as many as people as you would need in there. You kind of get their armor situated, and they kind of, you know, serve as your actors. Or if you wanted to do it offline in the early days of Halo, if you wanted your weapons to be lowered, you kind of had to do all that all yourself. So they kind of work as the actors, and then you go into the game, you play out the scene, and then if you once you get all of that situated, you then go into theater, and then from there you record it from using the Halo theater camera. From any angle that you would need to, at any speed you would need to, and it's just kind of thing, something that you can play back as many times as you need to get as many angles as you would need.
I think that's the thing that blows me away the most about it, is that you're limited by the software itself, the game that you choose, the console you choose it on. And yet, like, you see, like, in that compilation, there's some shots in there that, like, I don't know how they did that in theater mode of a game. And yet, you know, you look at it and you're just like, wow.
Well, you see, there's a lot more that goes into Machinima than just the game itself. Like, so, like, some people, and I think we will get into this a bit later, but I'm just going to gloss over it for a second. Some people like to use Source Filmmaker or Blender to use, like, animations. Because there are some, like, Halo Reach models out there that are great. Like, Soul, I think, his name is, like, Soul SFM. He had, like, a great, like, Halo Reach Spartan on, like, the SFM workshop that just helped tremendously for something.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on it already a little bit, Josiah, but the actors are players inside the game. So you have other people that will come in and be body actors. And you have voice actors that are basically working from home, microphone set up.
I love that.
And then you use the same software that cinema people use After Effects, Premiere, Sony Vegas, all that kind of same video editing software and effects software.
It's just whatever you're comfortable with in terms of video editing.
Yep.
It's definitely one of the cheapest forms of filmmaking, but I wouldn't exactly call it really cheap. I'm just saying, like, compared to, like, Hollywood stuff,
right.
It's very affordable.
Definitely.
Just depends on how much you're willing to pay.
So some key differences of Machinima versus cinema is Machinima, you're limited to what you have within the video game, whereas for cinema, you have multi-million-dollar budgets to basically create any kind of setting or prop or whatever that you want. So,
and on top of that, you have studios who are advertising everything for you.
Yes.
Which can be good and bad, especially if you're Ghostbusters.
Sets are also created in a digital space versus actually building sets with materials and other that kind of stuff. And that is probably a little bit more of a easier thing to deal with, but it's also a limiting factor because you have to get a little more creative with the elements within the game that you have to work with.
Yeah, such as like Forge. Like we all know, like Forge has a limit to how many objects it can use, and like there are some cases. I think there's like this modded map on Forge World where it's like unlimited Colosseum walls, but it's like you don't always have access to that,
right?
And that can make things a lot harder. But you know, like with everything coming to PC soon, like I think a lot of that is actually gonna, you know, be a lot different.
We'll see how much comes with that, because that's going to offer a whole new arena of machinima on five different titles that haven't had really the support that it's had in the past. So that'll be a very interesting difference to see. Games like Halo have the ability to capture the footage within the game, and you can replay that footage over and over again, so you don't have to do multiple takes with actors there. You can get the different angles that you need, or if you're having to redo a take, you're not having to do as many. So that's another distinct difference. Mm-hmm. And then the video effects are typically handier to deal with because you're not having to deal with nature, and there's a lot more fine lines to deal with if you're doing special effects. And
I wouldn't call that entirely true. To an extent, that is true. But sometimes there are factors in play, like a blade of grass moving in the foreground. That's just sometimes. But most of the time, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Typically, it's easier.
Yeah, typically it's easier.
We'll say typically it's easier, not always.
But not always. It just depends on what you're doing.
So the origins of Halo Machinima pretty much unanimously is Randall Glass's Warthog Jump. That's kind of like the token Machinima that most people agree is the like first Halo Machinima.
So, some people also would like to point out like that Red versus Blue is technically the first narrative one, kind of. So I'm not sure if that's actually 100% true, but they definitely are the most popular.
Yeah, they definitely have the popularity part. I don't know. It's been a while since I've researched that far back. I just know like from like Warthog Jump being...
That's the oldest one that I know of personally, narrative based. But from what I can tell, not all Machinima has to be narrative.
Right. I mean, the puppy in Halo is...
I was just about to say the puppy.
Don't worry, the puppy lives.
Yes. But it has been popularized by other shows like Red vs. Blue, The Codex, High Impact Halo, Master Chief Sucks at Halo. So those are some of the kind of more traditional machinimas that have had a long lifespan that has really gone on to inspire a lot of the machinimas that you see today within the Halo franchise. The in-game real-time footage in Halo 3 using theater mode was also a big staple within the Halo machinima. We did have some very ingenious mechanics used in some of the previous Halos, which we'll dive into here in depth a little bit later, but Halo Machinima really kind of got its dabble in Halo 1 and Halo 2, and then Halo 3 is really when it started to take off.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys kind of know, the whole production of Halo 2, you know, behind the scenes, if you've seen the documentaries, it was very stressful and kind of chaotic for Bungie at the time, and so, I mean, as you know, with Halo 2, they brought, you know, the whole weapon lowering thing, and there was no theater. And so, I mean, Halo 2 was kind of the first offering of like, hey, you know, we kind of want to support Machinima. And then theater came along, and that definitely, you know, its main purpose wasn't for Machinima, but it definitely helped the entire art form just push forward. And, you know, there's plenty of Halo 3 Machinimas that are just beyond popular. It definitely, kickstarted the entire art form into a much more popular manner.
Oh, being able to look at like what you recorded in the game rather than like through a camera or some ulterior third party device was just massive.
Yeah.
Because it cut down on like the costs of making one, and even the like workforce in making one. So you could produce more and more, and you could do more things with it in the game itself.
Yeah.
Plus, you have that part where, like, you know, like you can get the exact same shot of someone doing the exact same thing from multiple different angles and splice that together, which is so helpful.
And that kind of also leads probably a little bit in the way to having a little more creative inspiration too, because like if you're doing film, you have the one angle, you have the one camera, and you're like, okay, this is how the director envisions getting this angle. But if you're in a video game, you can look at a different angle and like, oh, I didn't know this happened at this angle. Let me see if I can use this because this looks really cool. Or, oh, I want to reshoot this with these other aspects in mind I didn't know were happening in the background type of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's a lot of inspiration that you can get just by nature of working with a video game. So let's talk about the early Halo Machinima tools, a.k.a. Halo Without Theater. So Halo Combat Evolved had this nice little trick. It's not necessarily a glitch.
You can kind of... Trick. Well, it's not really a glitch. It's just the way they animated it. Like, if you point your... Like Red versus Blue, we've all seen, like... Yeah. They usually love to use pistols. That's because in the original Halo Combat Evolved, the only way you could actually lower your weapon is with a pistol, and that's just by looking down. So the entire time, you're just looking down and just going everywhere.
That, you could do it with an AR if you wanted to look like a gremlin.
Yeah. that actually blew my mind it just took me a while to find that out of how they, you know, lowered their weapons. And when I finally went in-game and I kind of talked with some people about it, yeah, they're just looking down the entire time. And I'm like, what a pain that must have been to try and make an entire machinima while you're just looking down at the ground and just kind of moving around and trying to get everything right. I mean, making machinima in and of itself is kind of difficult, but you know, not being able to kind of see what you're doing is just ridiculous.
Yeah, like massive respect for what they turned out by just staring at the floor.
Yes. There's a lot of headaches and pains that have existed since the dawn of Halo Machinima.
Hey, they made our life easier with every single one.
That's true. That's true.
Still as you will see.
In addition to that, black bars to hiding most of the UI elements, since there wasn't a way to turn that off, was also used. So the cinema bars, as they were
letterboxed.
Like Marlon the Elite, like you noticed that like it's just so, it's basically a mailbox.
Yeah.
And it's like it's hard to see what's happening half the time, but you know, it's still entertaining somehow.
Well, with everyone in their super widescreen TVs, maybe that's what they were made for.
Yeah.
Their monitors are super
wide. Who is this made for? Boba Fett?
fix the frame rate.
And then in Halo 2, we got a little bit easier mechanism to lower our weapons. So we got to just having one button to lower our weapons, which actually ended up causing some more issues in the long run. But it made Machinima a lot easier. And then there was a glitch to drop your weapon completely using a plasma pistol and an oddball, which also helped with having kind of weaponless characters and kind of gave a little bit different character development to Halo Machinima. And then later day in Halo Machinima, bringing in Halo 3 with theater, Machinimators rejoice.
This is when Halo got to its prime, in my opinion.
Yeah, so we got theater mode where you could actually save film, go back, replay, get different camera angles. You could also save clips as well, which how many of you guys, like if you guys were back in the Halo 3 Machinima days, did you guys use clips versus just full-on film?
Clips.
Use clips?
Film. Full-on, yeah.
All right.
For sure.
So clips is very handy as well because you could take a 20-minute or 30-minute long session and then just say, okay, I want this clip so I can go back and reuse it later. Mm-hmm. Which just sucks because only Halo 3 had that. There hasn't been another Halo with the clip feature present.
Well, I mean, I think Halo Reach did have the clip feature, kind of, I think, where you could save like a small portion of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They did, yeah.
And Halo 3, you also had a breakout flying camera that you could use for reshoots. So if you went into film, you weren't stuck in the player view. You could actually move the camera around and fly around with getting whatever camera angle that you wanted, not just limited to a body in the map. So you could have a view from up top.
Another kind of word for it would be like God mode or no clip, in other games.
Right. You also have the ability to remove the HUD elements, which is a big thing.
Yeah, very helpful. We don't have to worry about that black bar anymore.
Mm-hmm. And then replacing the single button glitch or feature in Halo 2 with a button combination in Halo 3.
The one thing I wish they would change about that, though, is that we didn't have to jump every time that happened. It's the one thing.
I commend whoever figured out that button combination. I didn't. Halo 4 came out when I was 13, so I didn't really grow up with the younger Halos. But going back to make Machinima in Halo 3 and having to Google the button combination, and I'm like, trying to, you know, get my fingers wrapped on my controller the right way to get it. I think it's like five or six button presses.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just to get it. It's like
beating a Dark Souls boss just to get a freaking shy machinima.
Yes. The introduction, yeah. It wasn't the pros that came out with the club, it was the machinimators that came out with the claw. How do I get all these buttons to... Yeah, it's like a four-button combination.
It's like I got to hold down the A button and then wait a few seconds and then do the rest of the buttons. And it's like that every time you want to actually show them lowering the weapon.
Well, and it was the action of the button that it was triggered on, not the actual buttons themselves, right? So if your jump
was
on a
different... You could do it in any... It just had to be all the buttons that were used, but they didn't have to be at the same time.
Right. So that was fun.
Very.
Halo Reach.
A fun Halo. For Machinima.
Yep. A lot of armor customization, which I think was kind of a big introduction to different characters. So Halo 3 Machinima, to me, had a lot of that kind of more fun... kind of random story machinima, where Halo Reach really started to dive deeply into that narrative storytelling.
Some of the more popular Reach machinimas, like Rise of the Spartans, like they were just like, I think that's what started the trend, like of the Halo Spartan squad machinimas, because you do see a lot of those nowadays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also got Forge expanding different capabilities, having different pieces that we could put on the map. We got finally some prefabs, in a way. We got some nature pieces to use as well. So a lot more varied and diverse sets to use and build.
Plus, Forge World was pretty great.
The green screen was Halo 4, but yeah. Forge World definitely helped with the vast space to work with. And then Halo 4, no more elites, sadly.
No.
Aw.
Come on, 343, bring it back an infinite.
That would be nice. There was... more Spartan customization added onto as well to use for Machinima. And additional Forge capabilities incorporated in the Forge toolset as well. And then Halo 5 Guardians has a dedicated Machinima mode now in custom games. So you can actually get a custom lobby going and have a free cam to get people and direct people in lifetime. So you're actually almost making a proper cinema in Halo now.
I do kind of have to give a bit of a... Halo 5 is the first one that was always online. So with like Reach and Halo 4, if you couldn't afford like Xbox Live every couple of months or didn't want to pay for it, you know, you could just do it offline, and that's usually where you would do your weapon lowering stuff. But in Halo 5, you can't do weapon lowering online, but it's always online, and that just brings a whole lot of problems, in my opinion, but I do still think it is one of the best. It is one of the best to make machinimas out of, but it does have a lot of flaws. So, like I said earlier, it's just how much you want to pay. Like,
right.
Yeah, looking at the timeline, like organized throughout all of this, it is amazing that Halo 5 introduces this machinima mode, which we never would have soared to the heights that machinima was if some dudes didn't look at the floor. In the first game to introduce character development or different motions.
Yeah.
It is incredible how like that they have like Bungie 343 have implemented ways for you know, creators to make more things. They encourage this creativity. And like when you see the end result, like why wouldn't you?
One thing I admire is the green screen and the blue screen, like they added. Yeah. That was just like a big need for the Machinima community. Because in Halo Reach, you would just put like this blue shield and you still get all those particles everywhere. And it was just annoying to get rid of. In Halo 5, you got blue screen, red screen, green screen. It just helped. Yeah. Even if you don't have body actors, that's like a major improvement. Yeah. From
it definitely opened up the capabilities of visual effects in Halo with Halo 5, for sure. So a lot of doing that sort of thing in past Halos, Halo Reach, even like Halo 2 Anniversary, I know doing a blue screen on that was definitely a hard feat to accomplish. And so Halo 5 definitely helped a lot when it came to the visual aspect of Halo Machinima.
You've got the Forge scripting, which is probably used. Scripting?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Scripting as well. Yeah. I know a lot of people have also taken advantage of that aspect to definitely add an element that we haven't been able to before.
Another thing I noticed too, there's one director that stands out that uses a lot of scripting. It's Bacon Media. He's able to create these cinematic looking machinimas that you never thought to even possible to make. by just scripting cameras to like move like actual cinema cameras.
Yep. And you can animate things like doors now. So
scripting
Star Trek doors.
I actually scripted an elevator sequence, which was amazing. And it was like my first time using Halo 5 Forge. It's actually pretty easy to use when you figure it out, which I think is great.
And then unfortunately with Halo 5, we lost split screen.
Yeah.
It's a big oof.
So sad.
You're going to make me cry, Dust. You're going to make me cry.
We get some, we lose some. The ebb and flow of life.
Yeah. We got a machinima mode. We just can't watch each other on the same screen anymore.
We just hope that all of these different features come with Halo Infinite. All the good stuff, because...
Just hope.
Bring back elites.
Yes. We'll get to that in a minute, too.
Don't be elitist.
All right. So we're going to jump on into...
We're going to talk about my stuff now.
Yeah, we're going to jump on over to Beam.
Talk about. First off, I run Immortal Dream Entertainment, but before I talk about my stuff, I want to talk about something a lot of people are familiar with. Who here is familiar with Arby and the Chief? Okay, good.
Just about everybody.
That's great. So, All right, so Arby and the Chief is actually what got me into Halo Machinima and Halo in general. I remember it was 7th grade. I was dressed up as a Terminator. I didn't care about Halo at all. My friend Jared, he tells me to come in the back to watch this show called Arby and the Chief. I go in, I see one episode, and I just can't stop watching it. And then from there on, I'm a Halo fan. I didn't even have an Xbox. Anyways, Arby and the Chief is a show about the Arbiter and Master Chief, and there are these two action figures who play a lot of Halo, and they meet extreme personalities online. It was very popular back in the... 2007 to around like 2010, then it had a bit of a hiatus, and where they made this really bad season called Arby and the Chief in LA, which was made by Machinima.com, who fortunately is not around anymore. We don't associate ourselves with them. but it was made by a guy named John Graham. I've talked with him a few times. Pretty awesome. And it played for 7 seasons, along with 3 non-canon seasons, those being Arby and Chief in L.A., Hypermail, and, it was called Bites. Anyways, it was 7 canon seasons plus the 3 seasons, and there's actually season 8 on John Graham's channel, which I do recommend checking out. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I can appreciate the hard work he's actually put into it. But it has proved to be controversial, and the finale of season 7 of Arby and the Chief, which actually had them blowing themselves up. This is kind of an irreverent dark humor kind of thing. If you love Family Guy and South Park, you're gonna love Arby and the Chief. but season 7 kind of got dark because they blew themselves up because Arbiter was kind of a nihilist and Chief was just crazy. It's kind of opposing viewpoints between Arbiter and Chief, because Arbiter, he's the open-minded guy. He's the politically correct person. And you know, he's always trying to do what's right. He's a smart one and all that. Chief is a moron. He thinks Halo is the best game ever and always refers to himself as not Master Chief, but Halo sometimes. Or sometimes he'll call himself Master Chief. I don't know. He's switching between singular and plural. There's no logic behind it.
He calls himself Master Halo at one point.
he plays Super Smash Brothers Brawl one time and wonders why Master Chief is not in it. Because he kills Allens and isn't afraid of anything. Anyways, it features the Windows text speech voices, Microsoft, Sam, and Mike. And me, I made a fan series off of it. My fan series, Arby and the Chief Next Gen, it started out as a high school project. And, you know, it was actually really crappy. It was actually a lot like Arby and the Chief in L.A., I personally think it's crappy. A lot of people love it. But you know, people kept asking me to make them. So I'm just like, all right, I'm going to put season 1 of Next Gen into production. And Konami here was a part of that, and he really helped me out. He played one of the main antagonists, Speed Zone. Because around season 6 of Arby and Chief, they started bringing in these hackers. And I sort of wanted to expand on that. Anyways, Arby and Chief Next Gen, it takes place after season 7. And it doesn't feature any of the original cast, but it features more cast than the original, in my opinion. And currently, it is actually the most viewed Arby and Chief fan series on YouTube, which is actually a huge deal because there's actually like a playlist of like Army and the Chief fan series, and it actually has more than Red versus Blue. I think that's
wow.
It's one of the most popular to make fan series over, and it's actually I think the second most popular Machinima series of all time after Red versus Blue.
Wow.
But yeah, I think the first part of the movie has over 11,000 views right now, compared to like Resurrection, I think, which has like I think 4,000. Anyways, mine has also been the longest running for 4 years, including the movie and season one, which season one currently has 11 episodes. And currently, I am actually working on the finale, which is very crazy. The actually have a little sneak peek if y'all guys want to see it. Woo! Y'all want to see it? All right. Enjoy.
Let's hope the displays keep working.
It looks good so far.
Chief broke it, didn't he? And yes, I did bring them here too. But yeah.
Will they be signing autographs?
Y'all want them to?
Can I see that happen?
Anyways, episode 12.
The finale.
Oh, man. Okay, so this one, I might actually be like late November that I might actually be able to release this. But yeah, Brainiac is the main villain of Next Gen Season 1, and it's actually just a hacker who probably lives in his parents' basement. I don't know. Could be. Maybe the FBI will break down his doors. But one of the things that I wanted to do when doing Next Gen was actually sort of, because like Army and the Chief, like John never really went into like much of like the After Effects stuff or any animation. Like he kept very basic. Me, I'm crazy. I want to make it as crazy as possible. but I wanted to do it my own way, but you know, keep it very close to the original. And I think everyone who's actually watched it so far, or most of them anyways, because I have had my fair share of critics, they have actually enjoyed it. So you can actually find the all 11 episodes on my channel at Mortal Dream Entertainment on YouTube. And I also have a Discord server, which you can actually find in every single description of every single one of my videos. And if you want, because I know the subwoofer in the bass was pretty bad. If you want to see the trailer again, it will actually be uploaded on YouTube after this panel. So thank you guys so much for watching my thing. We'll move on to Konami's thing. Hope y'all enjoyed.
All right, so I work as a voice actor for this Machinima, and what I wanted to talk to you guys particularly about was really only just about four things. Now, just to get into these, I kind of have to give you just a general kind of overview of voice acting itself. A lot of people see voice acting as more of a necessity in the sense that a project will not be complete if my characters don't talk, or the production value won't be correct if I don't have a line or I don't have a script. The problem is we function a bit more as a luxury. If you plan for us in the beginning, I don't recommend that, because doing so can hinder your, crazy creativeness and limit you into a place where you don't really want to do. So if you treat the idea of providing voices for characters more as a luxury, you start to understand that voice acting is something that you add to a production rather than ingrain into it. That being said, the two main characters in Arby and the Chief are voiced by a computer program. And as you can see, they're hilarious. And that is a computer doing those. And that's kind of the unique thing about providing voices for a character. They create their own kind of personality. When Red versus Blue first came on, the voices that came out of the characters were immediately recognizable. And throughout the, I don't even know how many seasons of Red versus Blue. 16?
16. They're at 16. 17. Sorry.
It's almost 17. It's like the Simpsons of Machinima, but still kind of good.
yeah, RPG's more like the Family Guy of Machinima. We don't get any of the awards, but everyone knows that we're funnier.
Oof.
I'm but, kidding. Yeah. If you like Red versus Blue, I'm
but no, it's a really unique kind of thing. And for anybody out here that is going to create a machinima or is inspired to create a machinima, that's something you have to keep in mind, is that we provide another layer of depth for your project, for your world. I believe the puppy one doesn't actually have like voices on the puppy itself. It was just...
No, it's just the people.
It's just the people reacting to it.
The people reacting to the puppy. Yeah. And that's kind of the point of this first bit, is we're not really limiting your production if we're not in it. So don't freak out if you can't get voices for everybody. Maybe it presents a unique opportunity. The second thing is, going about finding us has always been kind of a Where's Carmen Sandiego kind of topic, because on one hand, we do have places where we congregate. There's Discord servers specifically dedicated to voice acting. We have private pages. We have Twitters. We have all this. But the question becomes, like, what is the most reliable way to do it? And honestly, if you want to talk to one of us, send us a direct message. Because the other way, you have to go through a much lengthier process. Listening to different auditions, listening to different people having takes on your character. And while that's not a bad thing, it all increases to the cost and what you're wanting to do with your project. So if you're keeping this in mind when you do what it is that you're doing, everything adds time. And time creates stress. And stress, I think we can all agree, can utterly make a project feel like a nightmare. So be wary of that responsibility when you do that. And if you have a specific person in mind, you know, don't feel bad about coming to us directly, because, I mean, that's what we do. We voice characters for people who are like, hello, I would like you to voice a demon flower today, and I'm not paying you.
Yeah, Konami here was actually...
That's oddly specific.
Yeah, he was actually a reference to me from another voice actor in my series, because I actually had to recast one of my characters. And he's like, hey, there's this guy, his name is Josh, and he's so great at doing this voice, kind of voice. And I'm like, all right, send him towards me. And it's like the second I heard him, I'm just like, this is my guy. I mean, there was lots of good ones, but it's like, he was uncanny. And what's so great is that you actually understood the character. Like, you didn't just see him as a bad guy. And that's great when your voice actors don't just see the characters as bad guys. That's always great. Like, they understand their motives.
I didn't know you felt that way about me.
Of course. Aww. I did.
And now I don't feel alone. Anyway. So, you know, there's many different ways, but obviously the best one, and in my opinion, it's just direct contact. And some of us are very busy. We will get back to you, and you can pester us. We won't take it too personally. But honestly, your point kind of moves me into the third thing, is the direction. And direction is really kind of one of those nebulous things where everybody has a way to do it, but there's no real set in stone way to do it. From my experience, the best kind of direction that we get is if you understand where you want this character to be in their... If you direct someone to do a character from the perspective of the audience, it's tougher to make that character more realistic, because now you're making the expectation off of another person or the viewers watching it. And I don't know if you guys know this, but people are very different. And if you try to play to one, or if you try to play to an audience, you're almost always going to fail. So keep the integrity of your character intact and take your actor or actors through that process, because they're there to help you. If we ever get to a point where we start to dictate your project, fire us. Because that's not what we're there for. It's your project. It's your world. We're only there to help give it life.
That's not to say that voice actors can't actually give, like, you know, good takes on things.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm talking about people that just want to just completely take over. And unfortunately,
yes, if that happens, just fire them, get rid of them.
Unfortunately, there are those of us out there.
Yes.
But, and this whole talk of mine comes from the assumption that you might want to create something. You might see that compilation, you go, oh, wow, I want to do that. I want to go into Halo 5 Machinima mode and make a video of me shooting a rock, and the rock says, ow! it comes from that kind of angle, because the beautiful thing about Machinima is, for voice acting itself, it's actually probably one of the most straightforward, in the sense of, like, I made the demonic flower reference earlier. I've done a character from Undertale called Flowey before, and the problem with something like this is the medium of which Undertale is in is fantastic, but it's so universal in the application that everybody has their own way of doing it. Machinima is not that way. Machinima is limited in that sense. So when you make the decision to cast a voice actor, you're honestly picking a really darn good medium to do it. So, I've talked about all of the wonderful things about voice acting. Let's talk about the things that are important. Money. The important thing... Yeah, I know. The important thing, and really, it just comes down to this. Communicate with your people, your editors, your technicians, your actors, everyone, what you want to do. In the beginning, if you can't pay them, that's fine. Just let them know. There are people who work for free. And, you know, at the end of the day, remember, it's your project. Don't let anybody else dictate it.
I was going to say, you're getting paid? Because any voice actor I knew.
I actually did not pay Konami.
No, I'm not getting paid.
You're good.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. But yeah, we got Josiah up next for your stuff.
So over the, like, 16 plus years that Machinima or Halo Machinima has been a thing, there have been thousands and thousands. It's like you can get lost in the amount that there are, and the amount of people that have made them, as well as just how many there are. But, you know, within all of that, you know, to become a director, it would kind of be, you know, it started off as like a, you know, camcorder in front of your TV, and one of the first tools you usually would get would be a capture card. And that was kind of the big purchase that was like, I'm a Machinima director. Like, I'm gonna set off on this journey and try to tell a story and try to entertain people, maybe try to make someone laugh or cry, or just, I wanna, you know, make this story my own. And so to me, the visual aspect of Machinima has always kind of been the most important, I guess you could say, or like the most intriguing, you know, the thing that you see with your eyes, and the thing that, you know, if you pause it at any moment, it can maybe, you know, like with a photograph, you know, a photograph can tell like 1,000 stories. And so, you know, the visual aspect of Machinima has always been the one thing that has been, you know, incredibly important. And as with every art form, there, and with our, you know, the thousands of artists that come with that art form, there's always particular individuals that pop out of the sea that kind of show the audiences, hey, you know, I'm different, or I'm doing more, or here's what I'm doing that's, you know, better, I guess you could say, in a way, that's than what everyone else is doing. Or they kind of show you why, I guess, they're kind of trying to push the envelope forward. You know, Red versus Blue, the very first shot that they did, you know, it wasn't visual effects oriented, but it was incredibly, you know, intuitive and creative. What they did was they had a Halo, you know, the Scorpion tank, and they had someone stand at the end of the barrel. And what they did was they just raised it from the bottom to the top. And I think that's what they call a dolly shot. And it was the type of thing that was incredibly creative and resourceful from a not so resourceful game when it came to making Halo Machinima. And so it's kind of the ingenuity of directors has always kind of been there, you know, even from, you know, from the beginning. And so the evolution of VFX, visual effects in Halo, obviously they started out incredibly small. A good example would be Darknell, Actually, if you want to start playing that video, go for it. So this scene right here, this is part 7 of Darknell's of the Forgotten Spartans. And the type of visual effects that he had right there is what we kind of generally call masking. And so it's used in the editing software that you edit your stuff in, but it's generally used to kind of create this sense of just wonder and the sense of like this huge battle that's taking place, because only 16 players can be in a Halo custom game, and to make it seem like there's hundreds of them is just a sense of wonder that is incredibly hard to do. But if you can do it effectively, it's incredible. But a lot of the visual effects that actually the directors, they kind of felt like they wanted to create something, like I said, like above the norm, and make it seem significant. Over time we see a lot of new creations, like you see Mario versus Spartan, the genetic Spartan. He also created Teach Me How to Super Bounce, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have seen that as well. I remember when I first saw this, I've probably seen this machinima maybe 20, 30 times, and each time I did, I watched it, and I'm like, how did he do that? How did he do this thing, these things? And afterwards, I went onto like Google, and I'm like looking up ODST drop pod 3D models, and I'm trying to download them and try to do it for myself. But it's visual effects and just the visual aspect. They're just the type of thing that a lot of machinima, they if they can do it effectively, they can leave the audience and the fans just like, how? And wow. And they go back and they watch it over and over and over again. Like, that looks amazing. Like, that's nothing I've ever seen before. And this was the last part of Arbiter 617's Rise of the Spartans. And I remember he mentioned he bought After Effects a little bit before this part, and it helped him create and I guess effectively kind of tell his story and bring his incredible idea to life more with this type of creativity. But it amazes me how the lengths that some people will go to try and do something that the game engine doesn't exactly allow you to do. It's just pushing the envelope forward and being like, hey, this is possible. You just have to put in the time and you have to put in the work. And if you can do it, it pays off. And there are people that will, they'll go back to those and they'll be like, I want to do that, or I want to be, that creative. And it's incredibly inspiring. And this right here, this is actually, it was a trailer for Machinima that never came out. It's called Battle of Meridium, Episode 2. It was made by Putty08. And I remember when that came out, it was, it seemed like everyone in the community at the time was just, it was a talking point for everyone. This was Heroes by Digital Virus. It's actually the first Machinima that ever made me cry. Not in terms of the visual aspect, but in terms of the story and the voice acting, because it was just empowering and it sucked you in. But yeah, a lot of people that I personally would think about when it came to incredible visual storytellers would be Darknell from 2007, Genetic Spartan. He was incredible for the times that he was active. Digital Virus, Audio 8. And then just kind of recently, Bacon Media, he kind of mentioned him. He has done a lot in terms of Halo 5 and what is there in front of you. But he's very creative with the tools that you can, the tools that you can use. But yeah, that's kind of me. So in terms of all of that, I kind of made, the last thing that I made that was Halo Machinima oriented. It wasn't actually a Halo Machinima. It was just a VFX clip that I kind of played around with. About 2 years ago is when I made it, and so what's possible is something kind of like this. If you want to play that, go for it. So every shot in that, besides I think the wide angle shot, was composited, and so essentially everything was all done on a blue screen besides the background. And that was kind of the big thing that came with Halo 5, was like they said, blue screens, green screens. And if you can effectively do it, that's something that you can create. And yeah.
So, cool. Thanks.
Take it away.
So I'm in charge of this channel called Halo Film Club. What we do, pretty much, I'm just write episodes trying to show how you would make a machine gun now Because if you look up any Mashima tutorials, it's always like a 30-minute video. It's like, hi, subscribe to my channel, look at this and this, this. It's never very specific. So what I'm trying to do is change the way people watch Mashima tutorials. Like, this is how would you do this shot, and this is how would you write this. I wanted to change a tutorial in, what is it, like, aspect, pretty much, when it comes to Halo Mashima. Because there is this channel, everyone already knows Mashima themselves. They had a lot of tutorials, but fortunately, that channel is no longer here. It's, everything's been erased. And those were the only good tutorials they had. So now, what I'll try to do is show you how to make something so simple, like here's this shot, all the way to composite layering, which you have seen with green screen and blue screen. And just point out small little details people want to pay attention, like do not wear a green visor on green screen because you will see through it. Another thing that really changed the visual effects in Halo 5 was Digital Virus himself. And I've noticed a lot of directors try to aim to get those lens flares, those explosions. It's just pretty much Halo 5 kind of changed how we make visual effects completely. Now, like, you can put someone in front of a green screen and a Warthog, and you can make it look like it's very close and personal. Before that, Halo 3, you had to follow the Warthog, and it's very complicated to do that. And sometimes it might hit a wall, and just like, bloop, the camera gets stuck. And another thing that I've created is a series called The Wasteland, which I'll probably finish eventually. What I try to do is trying to tell a cinematic story of this post-apocalyptic drama, which no one's ever seen before. Possibly. What I try to do with the series is to tell something like realism. Because a lot of machinimas that everyone's probably familiar with is comedy. Like Red versus Blue. I want to step away from that boundary and make a drama in a way. My inspiration pretty much came from Nightmare Films and Digital Virus, like he was saying earlier. Heroes, like, it changed the way we tell story. Especially with another director, Pep. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him, but he made a series called Promised Land. It's a very good drama. Once you get drawn into it, it's not even like you're watching the machinima no more. That's where I try to aim for my content, as well as helping people make machinima. So if you're trying to look for how to make one, just go straight to my channel, Halo Film Club. If you feel like just watching a 50-minute tutorial of just a guy showing how a camera works, you can watch that too. But I try to be specific with these tutorials. There's cinematography, there's editing, there's sound editing. And there's many more to come. And a composite layer tutorial that I don't think anyone ever has on their channel. Does anyone have a composite layer tutorial?
The virus did like...
Oh, he took all his videos off?
Yeah.
I re-uploaded that. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do that, but I re-uploaded it. That's all I ever do on Halo Film Club. I haven't been out there for a while, but I'm trying to push more episodes of The Wasteland and more tutorials. If anyone has an idea for a tutorial, just let us know. I can work with these guys to make more tutorials for you. And also, I don't commentate on my tutorials because I don't have that tutorial voice. I have somebody else, a voice actor, Tori Kamal. He has a soothing audiobook voice that just draws you in. So I pretty much the tutorials that I show you how it's done and someone else commentates it. So if anyone has an idea of what you would like to see, just give us a voice.
So what's one of the tutorials that you get most often either like requested or most viewed? Like, what are people looking for when they're looking for tutorials?
The most requested was composite layering. I was going to make a part two for that, actually. Another thing people don't talk about in tutorials, which I wanted to do, was cinematography 101. A lot of people are just like, dude, just shoot this. But when you actually watch someone's first machine, that's always the cameras all over the place. Like, hey, watch this guy. But first, look at the floor. It's not, like, I would say it's, like, not stable. I would say, like if you're, when you first go into machinima, you know how the camera works.
It's hard to understand the basics.
Hard to understand the basics. And what I try to do is make you understand how cinematography works. I try to get real in-detailed, but you never hear from directors. How the editing process works, it takes forever. It does. Rendering is the most pain in the butt thing you can actually do. You just sit in front of a computer for hours until the video is actually done. I've done that one time. It's like 30 seconds for like 5 hours of rendering time. It's pain. And I try to move on to the cinematography, which I've already covered that. Oh, also, I want to make a tutorial. I'm pretty sure people might be interested in this, but other ways to record without a DVR. Many people may not talk about as much, but there's other ways to record without a DVR. So all you need is an editing software, which a lot of ones are free on the phones or laptops. There's a lot of free software out there. I'm trying to make it more flexible for people to make a machine now. It's easier now than it was before, where you have to, like, capture card or took up so many wires. Now you can just record off of Xbox.com, download the clip, and just edit anywhere on the go. All these tutorials I'm trying to do is just to push making Machinima forward.
That's all I got.
Oh yeah, I still have this fun example. It took me like a whole month just trying to get this shot. I never came out with some Machinima. Well, I tried to replicate like real lighting, like something you would see in here. I have at least 40 layers. What I'm trying to do is push Machinima to the most realistic visuals possible, which I will make a tutorial eventually on this, how to make real lighting possible. And thanks to Halo 5 Forge, you can push the boundary even more to make your lighting realistic. Many people see this shot and they're like, oh, it's just do Forge and all that. It's just everything's like After Effects. 50 layers of this. And just to render like 5 seconds took like 2 days to render. And plus my computer shut down and I had to re-render.
Hey, one thing to remember about After Effects, it takes so long to render stuff.
Yeah, it does. Well, thanks guys for sharing. We're technically over time, but we'll take like 5 minutes to get questions if anyone has any questions, and then we kind of cut it. So if you can come on up and use the microphone and say your question.
Yeah.
So if you had like a wish list of features that 343 could implement in Infinite for Machinima making, what would they be?
We actually have
a slide for that.
We're going to cut it for Q&A. We'll talk about
it. Thank you for asking that question.
So let's talk about this slide.
Okay. Or we could just go in order.
This is
a list of things we all, like every Machinima creator wants.
Yeah.
But the one thing I want the most from this list, armor. I love armor. And I love customizing my characters. So each one looks different. I don't like all of them to wear Mark 7. I don't like all of them to wear Mark 7 on Halo 3. I like to mix and match. But the one thing I hate about that is having to actually grind for it. And I understand, you know, you have to give people sort of like a reason to like play multiplayer kind of sometimes. Like, and not everyone wants to play competitively.
Yep.
But what I would like to see is a mode, like it's like an expansion of Machinima mode, but we can wear whatever armor we want, sort of like an experimental mode.
Without having to unlock it.
Without having to unlock it, exactly. And, you know, we just have everything there for us. It's not, like, safe to our profile. It's just a screw-around thing. It's, like, kind of a sandbox thing. And one other thing I would like to see that would add on to that is, like, you know, like how in, like, Halo 5 Forge, we have those cameras that we can place that are, like, the intros and outros. I want to see one of those for, like, theater mode.
That was on my Halo 5 theater mode wish list.
Like, I want that. Like, what, like... Like if we have any 343 people sneaking around here, put that in.
Yeah, because I mean, the camera, as you guys kind of all know in Halo Theater, is, you know, you got your wide angle and you click in and it's zoomed in. That's really all you get.
Here's what I hate about the Halo Theater. It's hard to control the camera.
Oh, yeah.
That's so hard. Yeah.
There's a lot of shots that are really hard to do, and you could be sitting there doing it for like 30 minutes just to get 5 seconds.
Especially some of like the movement shots. It's like if a character's moving really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like you have to, like sometimes you have to be so precise with the camera movements. Like if you move too far, it makes the Spartan go off camera. If you go too slow, they still move out of camera. You have to find that right pace. And I have controllers with broken sticks that move to the right slightly every time I move them. I'm just like, stop it.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, a feature where it can be, you know, it can kind of mimic, you know, like a real world camera in terms of like, you know.
Like a dolly?
Well, like, you know, you can set the focal point and the focal range.
Yes.
You can set aperture and shutter speed, and you can kind of make it much more of a realistic aspect as well as like depth of field, because that's something that, you know, you can do with compositing, but it's very, you know, it's very difficult, very time consuming. And if you could do that, you know, in game, it saves you so much time and so much, much headache.
Another thing I would like to see from future Halo installments is actually like a timeline where you can just record something, edit it real quick, and just share it with your friends. And that will come very handy to any...
Like a sort of in-game Adobe Premiere kind of?
Yeah, just very simple. So you can just export it and you would just do the rest from there.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Thanks for the question. Anyone else have a question?
Anyone else?
If you have any others, you can also ask us after the panel, too.
That's true. Yep. Going once, going twice.
Any questions about any of the softwares we use or that we, any, there. Okay.
Go ahead. We'll take this question and we'll wrap up.
What are your guys' recommendations on like free editing software? Because I recently just canceled my Adobe Creative because it's expensive. So
I think I can answer that one. DaVinci Resolve is actually pretty good when it comes to editing. And also it has a built-in free color grading software with it. It's just free.
I know some people like to use cracked versions of Adobe Premiere, but I wouldn't recommend using that because if they find out, like I think they could probably actually sue you for that. but I know a few people who use cracked version. I don't use a cracked version. I paid for mine with a student discount.
I'm paying full for my Adobe.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you everyone for attending the panel.
Thank y'all so much.
Enjoy the rest of your outpost. We'll be around back by the tables for a little bit of Q&A afterwards after we take a picture real quick, but enjoy the rest of your outpost.
Thank you.